we've had a lot of mission trips as a church since our previous mission pastor moved off to Texas. And so I said, let's bring him back and make him our mission conference speaker and put him in charge of everything. And that's why I'm so excited to have our mission conference speaker come and join us and tell us about what God is doing. Would you please welcome Mark Bloom? Come and join us.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. I am so incredibly honored to be here. No, the kids are staying in and they're playing bingo. So they're going to have... They're in the service, and they want me to say certain words. They want me to say certain words. So, kids, I'm going to say the word Chick-fil-A, okay? There you go. There's your first word. Hey, every pastor in here, every missionary knows that when a pastor up here takes off his watch, what it means? Absolutely nothing. Okay. I did ask Daniel how long I had, Pastor Daniel, and he said, as long as you want. Yeah, no, don't worry about that. But I do want to take a second before we even start. I want to say how incredibly proud I am of both of you, Pastor Daniel, Pastor Athena. This is awesome. I don't know if you guys know, but 23 missionary couples that you all support. Listen, I was in a massive church and we supported like four, okay? I have I've never seen a church support more missionaries. And it all goes back to Pastor Doug and Val. So if you don't know, we started this church in 1986. That's when Daniel was six and Athena was one. So Athena was just a little baby. Daniel wasn't much bigger. But Pastor Doug and Val imparted into my wife and I. So Debbie, stand up, wave at everybody. That's my beautiful wife of 39 years. Can you believe it? Wow. But I have got some pictures of all kinds of funny stuff. So, I first want to start off by just saying If you've been in this church for any amount of time, you know that this is a family-oriented church. So go ahead and put up the first picture, if you would. That's my family. For those who remember Allie back there and Melissa. Melissa was, when she was born, we had no clue what we were doing. And so we rang up Pastor Val and we said, can you come over? And she came over and she showed us how to raise kids. So... if there's anything bad, it's y'all's fault. If there's anything good, it's our fault. And then the next picture, go to the next picture. That's probably how you remember us if you were here 30-some years ago. You got to love that mullet, man. I am bringing that back. Anybody want mullets back? Yeah, come on, Jeff. Can you grow a mullet? Come on, bro. We're going to try. Okay, this next picture, I love this one because this was at the portables. Remember, Pastor Doug, when we had something special and I was videotaping and doing interviews, okay? So that was here on property. And then this next picture is one of my favorites. This is when we were on a missions trip with Pastor Bruce, and we were in China. And what I love about this picture was this was Pastor Bruce on most of the trip in China. And so we are literally driving on this bus down China and he is sound asleep. And I go, Pastor Bruce. He's like, what? I go, check it out. He goes, what? I go, Chinatown. Yeah, I've got a bunch of those, but I'm not going to go there. So anyway, I did talk to Pastor Daniel before we started, and he said, you know, the books of the Bible reading is so important here. But he did tell me there was a book in the Bible that hadn't made it quite in the Bible. So he quoted me a verse. It was from Malcolm 3:16. It says, blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be invited back. So I'm like, awesome. That's amazing. So I'm going to go ahead and start with a little story of a little boy who was out in the foyer between services. And he was standing there, and they had a little thing on the wall with a flag and all the people, the military people. people that had died. And so this little boy was just standing there and he was just staring and staring. And the pastor said, "Hey, Billy," do you know what you're looking at?" And he said, "No, pastor, I just see a bunch of people in uniforms." And he said, "Well, those are our service people that died in the service." And he said, "What service, the 11 or the 9 o'clock? So I want to say that because nobody's died in my service yet, ever, but a few people have fallen asleep. So if Bruce falls asleep, I'll be a little more quiet. But don't worry, you can fall asleep. And I have had some people leave, so it's okay as long as nobody dies. But tonight I want to just talk real briefly about your purpose in life. You know, the greatest question man has ever asked is two things. What am I on this earth for? And what is my purpose? That's something pretty much every one of us at some point ask ourselves is, why am I on this earth and what is my purpose? And there's two realizations I want to talk about today. The first realization is a life changer. It's really easy, and it's the realization that life is not about me. Okay, that's a hard one for a lot of us, is life is not about me, especially when you watch TV and TV says, "Listen, have it your way. It's all about you. Everything you watch is, you need this, you need that." I recently, you know, we talk about how money does not buy happiness. One of my pastor friends said, "Yeah, but have you ever seen anybody frowning on a jet ski?" You know, so, yeah, I never have, but the realization is that, life is not about me. So we were created to glorify God. Listen, that's the reason we were created. That's why we were created. Most people that are Christians might know that, but do we really live it to glorify God? So I've got a couple verses. One is in Isaiah 43:7. It essentially says that God created us for his glory. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Obviously, we know God formed every one of us. But what you might not know is that God formed you with a divine purpose. You have a purpose on this earth. And the other verse is 1 Corinthians 10:31, and it says, "So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." You know, that was a revelation to me, is to start doing everything for the glory of God. So it doesn't matter if I'm out at a restaurant. You know what? I can tell somebody about the glory of God. It doesn't matter if I'm over at Stater Brothers. I can tell somebody about the glory of God. Because you don't really realize it, but there's so many people walking around wounded. They're hurt. You look at them. You maybe look them in the eye and you don't realize. They literally are walking around starving going, "I need an answer. I don't even know why I'm on this earth." And so one of the things we get the opportunity to do is to go everywhere. I love this. Go everywhere, tell everyone. A pastor friend of mine told me a story of, he said years ago, I think it was like 25, 30 years ago, he was in the deep, deep jungle of Africa. And he was preaching the good news of Jesus. And he stood up and he was telling this person in front of their hut, he said, "Do you know who Jesus is?" And he said he started to weep when the guy looked at him and said, "Jesus, is that another drink from America? Like Coca-Cola?" And he realized here, these people knew about Coca-Cola, but they've never heard the name of Jesus. You know, there's so many places. Evan and Pam, wherever y'all are, I'm so proud of you guys. Listen, you guys are going to a country that is unreached. And you guys are going to preach the gospel. I just want to say, again, can I just have all the missionaries and pastors stand up? We just want to give you a big round of applause. Can you all stand up? Come on. These guys are amazing. I was saying today, standing in front of all of those missionaries, I said I felt like the bat boy at the Padres. You know, the little guy who runs out and grabs the bat, comes back. You know, "Hey, can I do your shoes?" These guys are on the field 24/7. And man, I just applaud you. That's amazing. There's a story, if you remember, I don't know if your little kids were little when Thomas the Train, remember that little cartoon? There was one of the episodes, my little girls used to watch it, there was an episode where Thomas the Train was going down the track and he fell off the track and he started yelling, "I'm free! I'm free!" But was he really free? You know, if you think about it, we are designed to stay on God's track. And it's so easy to get distracted. I'm telling you, everything in this world wants to distract us from staying on God's track. And that cartoon made me kind of laugh when here he is on the side and his wheels are spinning, you know, going, "I'm free, I'm finally off the track." But that's kind of how it is when we get off of God's track. So Isaiah 41:10, it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you." Listen, this is the word of God. A lot of people say, man, who is God? If you want to know who God is, read his word, because the word of God is God. Listen, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." The two greatest days, Mark Twain said, in a person's life is the day they were born and the day they figured out why. And so all of you have a divine purpose from God. You're on this earth for a reason. And there's a story of a few years ago, Deb and I were actually on the beach in Hawaii, one of my favorite places ever. And did I already say Chick-fil-A for you kids? Okay, Chick-fil-A. I don't know if beaches was on there, but we were sitting on a beach, and Deb leaned over to me, and she goes, "Oh, look at that little girl down there." And I said, "Oh, yeah, yeah." She goes, "Look at that little pink tutu. It's so cute." And I go, "Babe, you mean the orange tutu down there?" And she goes, "No, sweetie, the pink tutu." And I go, "Babe, and I grabbed her glasses, and she said, "Oh, it is an orange tutu." And I felt the Lord speak to me and say, this is like life with your purpose in life. Is she had glasses on that she would have put money down that was a pink tutu. But when she took those glasses off, it revealed that what she had on was revealed. It was messing up what was the truth. And a lot of times you'll find these especially millennial kids will say, "Well, this is my truth. Okay, this is my truth. I believe this. I believe that because this is my truth." And I look at them and so I'll say, first of all, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe the Bible? And if they say no, I say, our conversation's kind of over. Because the reality of it is my wife and I, Debbie, I know Pastor Doug and Val, I know Pastor Daniel and Athena, you live by the Bible. That's our truth. And so I said, if you were to call somebody in New York and say, "Hey, Home Depot, can you cut me a piece of wood that's 6.5 inches? Or if I called to Texas, or if I called to Seattle, every piece of wood would be the exact same because they use a measuring stick, right? It's called a ruler. It would be 6.5 inches. But the problem is if you don't believe the Bible is my measuring tool. So, you know, if you don't believe the Bible, then honestly, for us to have a real conversation is hard because it'd be like you saying, "Well, I don't believe in rulers. I believe this is 6.5 inches or that is, you know," and so we have to have some kind of a measuring stick. So, relationships, listen to this, relationships and life events will change, but your purpose in life will never change. And here's an example. So if I had this pin and I went to the jungles of Africa and I gave this pin to the chief and he'd never seen one of these, he would have no clue, number one, what this was. He might think it's some kind of a spear, a miniature spear. It could be whatever. He'd have no idea that you spin it and the little thing comes out. And that's how a lot of people are, is they say, "God, I don't know what my purpose is." Well, here's the reality is if I want to know what this is for, I either do two things. I read the instruction manual or I ask the inventor, "What is this?" And I realize the inventor is God. He understands what your purpose is. And the instruction manual is the Bible. And I have to ask people, how many times have you ever asked God, "God, what is my purpose?" And what I love is somebody like Mother Teresa, her purpose in life never changed. She was for the poor and the needy. But it didn't matter whether she was speaking somewhere. It didn't matter if she was in Calcutta, India, or if she was in New York. Her purpose in life was to help people. I love Pastor Val. Your purpose, one of your purposes is an encourager. You have been an encourager for 38 years that I've known you. I bet you were an encourager before that, and I bet you're always going to be an encourager. There's something so great about always being around you because you encourage. That's part of your purpose. It's like people want to be around you. I always say, are you the kind of person that people, you walk in a room and people go, oh good, here they are, or oh no, here they come. By the way, one person just left, another person's leaving. Look, there's number two. Bye, Lisa. I love you, girl. Hope catch it on YouTube. Okay. I can do that to Lisa. I love her. Okay, so your purpose in life. I can't tell myself what my purpose is. So I'm going to ask God, God, what do you have for me? What is my purpose? One of the things is, what are your gifts and talents? What do you love to do? You know, if you love to sing, man, your purpose is going to be up here on the worship team. If you love to play the piano, if you don't know how to play the piano, I doubt your purpose is to be on the worship team playing the piano. But you never know. And so, listen, Revelation 1, life is not about me. It's to glorify God. And listen to what Revelation 2 is. We will only find true meaning in our lives when we give our lives away. Well, what does that mean? When I give my life away. Listen to this. Matthew 10:39 says, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. That's the words of the Lord. And I have mentors like Pastor Doug. You're one of my mentors. I have mentors from afar, people I've never met. Francis Chan is one of my mentors. And years ago, he preached a message, and I remember it forever. Hey, Mariah. That's my birthday, but my birthday Twinkie right there. August 31st, way to go. Squirrel, sorry. But Francis Chan is one of my mentors, and he preached this message about, he said, you know, my mom died when I was, when she gave birth to me. And he said, then my dad remarried, and my stepmom passed away when I was 9. And then he said he remarried again, and then they had a big tiff like when he was 11, and he said, my dad shot my mom and then my dad shot himself. So here I am at 11 years old. I've lost four parents. He said, then my grandparents raised me and they got into all kinds. And so he talked about how his life was just such a mess. But he said, could you imagine if you were in the Olympics and there was a girl, say, on the parallel beam? She's on the parallel beam, and during the routine, she just all of a sudden kind of was like, some people do with their purpose in life. It's like, listen, I just want to be safe. I don't want to go on a mission trip. I don't want to give towards missionaries. I don't want to do, I just want to be safe. And so he gets on the parallel beam, and he kind of grabs onto it like this, and he's holding on going, you know, I want to homeschool my kids. I don't ever want them to get out in the world. And I just want to be safe. I don't want to go on any missions trips. I don't want to do anything. And in fact, someday I just want to go to sleep and then Jesus will take me home. And he said, he says, then you get into heaven. And then you look at the judge and you go, ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. He said it would be like a girl doing that on the gymnastics. How would a judge even rate that? You couldn't even score that. And he said, what would God do when you're standing in heaven and you're like, ta-da, Lord, I played it safe, man. I didn't even worry about missionaries. I didn't even worry about going to church because, you know, it's about me, Lord. It's about me, but I lived a good life for you. I played it safe. And he said, God, how would God even judge you when you played it so safe? And I realized God's got a purpose for each one of us, and it's beyond playing it safe. It really is. God wants us to go to the nations of the world, whether you go by sending someone, whether you go by praying for someone. You know, everyone, I'll tell you, if you can take that card, ministry card, and tape it onto your mirror or your refrigerator, those are the two places you go every single day. If you don't, you should go to that place every single day. But if I'm telling you, if there's something I want to remember, I put it on my mirror and I tape it on the refrigerator and I see it every day, and you will be praying. Just pick one couple a day and pray for them every day. It will make massive difference. So I want to real quick, I'm going to pull out these three chairs, and this was kind of a life changer for me when I realized, so in life we sit in one of three chairs. Nice little white chairs right here. Here you go. So in life we sit in one of three chairs. So chair number one is where the majority of people in the world sit. This chair right here is the chair of survival. Okay? This chair of survival is the chair where honestly most people live paycheck to paycheck. We always say, you know, you're just probably a few paychecks away from being on the street. Most people live in this chair. They work 9 to 5. Man, they are looking forward to the weekend. They are looking forward to that 1-2 week vacation they get. That chair of survival, most people live in that chair. But this is the chair everybody wants to live in. This is the chair of success. Man, when you're in this chair, you have got it made. You've probably got 2 cars, and you might even have a sports car. You might have a boat. You can eat out whenever you want. You love going. I'm telling you, this is a great chair. This is the chair of success. Man, I'm telling you, you got it made. You got it, what we call the goods. You're looking good. You're feeling good. You got the goods, okay? But this chair is the chair that people like sometimes Robin Williams, he was in this chair, but it wasn't enough. Here's a guy that everybody loved. Here was a guy that everybody admired. He was funny. He was on every talk show. He was wealthy, but he took his own life because the chair of success isn't the chair that will bring you your purpose in life or bring you true meaning. This chair is the chair of significance. And I can tell you, every one of these missionaries have sat or are sitting in this chair, the chair of significance. The beauty about the chair of significance, you know who you are, you know what your purpose is. Now, you can be in the chair of success and the chair of significance. That's a great combo. I'm telling you, because the chair of significance and the chair of success helps fund the kingdom of God. But the beauty of it is you can go from the chair of survival directly to the chair of significance. You can skip this chair. And I'm telling you, if you've only been in this chair and you've never sat in the chair of significance, life will never have true meaning. You might think you're happy. You might think you've got that jet ski and you're smiling. But at the end of the day, there's something so empty. And I'm telling you, a lot of people will say, I know that chair because this chair is never satisfied. It's never satisfied. I always need a little bit more. Now, there is nothing wrong with the chair of success when you have it matched with the chair of significance. In fact, that's a great pair because, again, God does great things with people. So those are the chairs that I know that's the chair I love being in. There's the movie. Remember that movie City Slickers? I loved that movie. Remember the guy Curly? He was played by Jack Palance. And then you had Mitch, who was played by Billy Crystal. And Jack Palance, they're riding on the horses, and he says, do you know the secret of life? And Billy Crystal says, no. And he says, one thing. And then Billy Crystal says, what, your finger? And he says, no, one thing. But he says, it's up to you to find it. And that's what's so great about when you know your purpose is to glorify God. Because that's the one thing, is to glorify God. And so I have a little picture here that it's always kind of fun to show people. And I kind of say, okay, what do you guys see? Yell out, what do you see? A what? A black dot, right? Here's the interesting thing. 6% of this page is a black dot. 94% of this page is white paper. Okay, but for some reason, your eye goes right to that black dot. And it's like, wow, that's what I see. But think about it. It's what you focus on in life. You around people that, man, they focus on the negative and it's just like, oh no, here they come. You know, it's always the negative, always the negative. Or you get around the positive people and it's like, man, life is awesome. You know, if you're around Pastor Zach for very long, you really think life is pretty awesome because he is an awesome guy and he thinks positive. He thinks, and I really do believe you are what you think. I really believe that. I think I'm a multimillionaire, baby, sitting in the chair of significance. That's what I'm talking about. All right. So our main purpose on life is to what? Glorify God. We as humans are designed to live a life of significance. I love that. Go everywhere, tell everyone. So I want to read this verse. It's just one of my favorite verses. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says this. If my people, which y'all probably know, if my people, in fact, you can read it with me. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And when I broke this down, I realized there's kind of four things, major things in this. The first thing is, if my people will humble yourself and pray. Remember, the first sin in the Bible was pride. Okay? Humility is the opposite of pride. And when we humble ourselves, and it's not about me, it's about the kingdom of God. It's not about me, it's about me glorifying God. That's humbling yourself and realizing that there's so much more. So when you humble yourself and then you pray, and I love Luke 11, it talks about the guy who goes to his neighbor's house. If you remember, he goes to his neighbor's house and it says, he knocks on the door and says, hey man, can you give me some bread? And the guy says, what? He goes, no, I'm already in bed. Come back tomorrow. And the guy says, no, man, I need some bread. And he goes, come back tomorrow. And he goes, we've already locked the house. And he goes, I need some bread. And it says, finally, the guy got up. And because of his persistence, he opened the door and gave the guy what he was asking for. And what I love is Jesus tells a parable and says, listen, I love that the guy was persistent. That's what prayer is, being persistent, saying, God, you told me to seek, you told me to ask, you told me to knock, so I'm seeking, I'm asking, I'm knocking, and whatever it is, you just keep being persistent, and God is going, I believe, to truly answer that in his time. I was talking with Steve Ariella today, and I said, we were talking, and I said, you know, I love that verse that says, all things work together for good. But a pastor friend of mine told me one time that there's a word that's kind of left out called eventually. You know, it doesn't always happen right when we pray it, but eventually. And so that's praying. And then seeking God's face is so different. Seeking God's face is not just in prayer, but seeking God's face is, anybody in here who is married and remembers when they first got married, man, it was so awesome. It's like, I just want to be with this person. I just want to be with that person. And that's what God wants when we seek his face. God, I just want to be with you. God, I just want to hang out with you. God, I just want to pray to you. I just want to be in your presence. And man, there's something so amazing when you're in a time of worship. Maybe you're in your car, maybe you're in your church, whatever. But when you're in a time of worship and the Holy Spirit just comes and you're in God's presence, there's nothing better. It is sweet. It is sweet. And that's what God wants, is to seek his face. And then the last thing is to turn from your wicked ways. Hosea 10:12 says to break up the fallow ground. Now we live in Texas and we have clay for dirt. Okay. We always say it's not if your house will shift. It's when your house will shift, because the dirt, what happens is it rains, and then it swells up, and then it dries, and it shrinks up, and it looks kind of like, you know, the desert where it's all cracked. And so what they do in the farm, if you were to take seed and throw it on that hard dirt, it literally would just bounce. It would be like you're throwing it on cement. So what they do is they take a plow, and they plow it this way, and then they plow it that way, and then they plow it this way. And when they're breaking up that fallow ground, then when they throw the seed in, it gets down in there, and it can grow. And I really believe that's what God's talking about is, listen, we have to plow our hearts because sometimes we get a hard heart. I know I've had a hard heart before. And he can literally, through the word of God, through prayer, saying, God, forgive me. What I did one time is I literally took a piece of paper. It took about 3 or 4 days. And I just prayed and I said, God, bring to remembrance maybe anybody that I've got an offense against or somebody who's had offense against me. And I wrote down their name. And after I was done, I went person by person. I said, Lord, I pray for them. I forgive them. And man, I'm telling you, by the end of that, I was so free. I felt so clean because the Lord, I allowed him to break up the fallow ground. I allowed him to go in and just be in my heart and wipe out this stuff. And it felt so great. And so now I try and do that on a regular basis. Lord, is there anything today that maybe happened that I need to ask forgiveness for, or do I need to go ask forgiveness from somebody? So I'm just going to close with a few scriptures. Jeremiah 1:5, the Lord says, before I formed you in your womb, in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Guys, God has a purpose for your life. Psalms 139, 23 to 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Because the Lord knows we have anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. If you pray that, there probably is offensive way in you. Because there's offensive way in me. And Lord, lead me in the way of everlasting. And then Psalms 51:10 through 12. I love the word of God. It says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me from your presence or take the Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit and sustain me. And then Jeremiah 29:11, all you know this one, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They're plans to prosper you, not to harm you. They're plans to give you a hope and a future. And then last, it says, Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you, in his love, and he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing. How amazing is that? God's going to rejoice over you with singing. Worship team, y'all were amazing today. Y'all were amazing and just taking us into the presence of God. I love that. Can you come up and play the keyboards as we kind of close out? I just want to pray for everybody. But guys, God does have a divine purpose for each one of you. And maybe if you don't know what it is, ask God. Say, God, what is it that you have for me that maybe I haven't accomplished yet? Maybe this is you're taking us into a new road. My wife and I, a year ago, last January, God led us into starting our own 501c3. And I was like, are you kidding me, God? Is that what you have for us? And I felt like God said, that's what I have for you for the next 25 years of your life. That's what I want you to do. So we're like, okay, Lord, here I am. Send me. You know, don't know what that looks like, but here I am. Send me. We just stepped out. We stepped out of the boat. Hopefully we won't sink, but I got my eyes fixed on Jesus. So I want to just close you with this quote. It says, live like Jesus is coming back tonight, but plan like Jesus is not coming back for 100 years. Guys, I just want to pray for you. I want to pray that God reveals himself to you like never before in 2024. That this is going to be a year that some of you have been praying for years and years, whether you've been praying for your family to come back to God, whether you've been praying for a financial breakthrough or maybe a new job. I'm just praying that God opens up the windows of heaven over your lives, that God does things in your life that it's just going to be a surprise to you because God's going to move you into what he's got for you. So bow your heads as I pray. Lord, thank you for Living Way Church. Thank you for Pastor Doug and Pastor Val setting forth the track, setting forth the road to say, we are going to be a missions church. We're going to be a church that preaches the word of God. We're going to be a church that speaks and proclaims the name of Jesus. We're going to be a church that glorifies God in all that we do. Thank you for Pastor Daniel and Pastor Athena for stepping up to the call and taking the mantle to lead this amazing church into what you have. Lord, I pray for 2024 is going to be this church's best year yet. I pray for every person in the sound of my voice that they are going to experience you in an entirely new and exciting way, a new and living way, Lord. I speak joy. I speak peace. I speak financial prosperity over their lives. I pray health in Jesus' name for those who need health, for those whose children have wandered away, that they come back to the kingdom. I pray for divine miracles, even when they go and pray for somebody. Maybe they're at Stater Brothers and they pray for the clerk behind the counter, that they will see healing, that they will see miracles right before their eyes, Father God. You're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You're the same God that 2,000 years ago laid hands on people and they recovered. Their sight recovered. Their ears recovered, Lord. They even came back from the dead. Lord, that's the kind of God you are. So we just call out right now, Lord, your Spirit, your Holy Spirit to come upon us, reveal to us our purpose, reveal to us what you would have us to do. And we just say thank you and praise you. And all God's people said, amen. Awesome. Thank you, my brother.
Awesome.